In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At his baptism, the Father declared for all to hear that Jesus is his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. He's then driven by the Spirit into the midst of the curse, into the midst of thorns and thistles. Fasting, Jesus is worn down, exhausted, and starving. And the devil comes. If you are the Son of God, why do you suffer? Why do you starve? If you are the one who called all things into existence, surely it will not be too much for you to turn stones into bread. Jesus isn't the only one tempted this way. The Father declares the very same thing about you in your baptism. Yet the devil tells you that God holds out on you, that he doesn't give you the best or fullest. So you worry about jobs, bills, school, family, money, and so on. On the other hand, you're mocked, abused, and ridiculed as your brothers are persecuted and even martyred. All the while, the devil sows doubt. Why, if you are God's child, do you suffer? His lies seem more real than the truth of God's word. So you doubt the love and provision of Jesus. You lose faith. Repent. You live not by emotions or experience, but only by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Like thunder comes the rebuke from Jesus' lips. It is written, God has declared it to be so. Silence your false accusations. Jesus overcomes this temptation for you. In his baptism, your sufferings and afflictions are placed upon him. In yours, you're covered with his blood, victory, and righteousness. There's no one left to accuse you, for in your stead, Jesus bears the accusation and temptation. Jesus conquers and overcomes them all. You are free. The devil comes again. He can quote the Bible too. Context and meaning don't matter. Just a few verses will hopefully make Jesus submit. After all, it's from the Bible. Jesus isn't the only one tempted this way. How often do you hear the scriptures twisted, perverted, misquoted, and downright blasphemed, yet say nothing? What about those who deny the efficacy of holy baptism, or that the Holy Communion is actually what the Lord himself says it is? What about those who claim you can earn heaven by your own works? Certainly you feel the urge at first to condemn their heresies and say, "Thus saith the Lord." But then the need to keep peace rises. And so you try to justify your silence by saying there's no real difference. It's simply a matter of semantics or opinion. It's always hard to call out a liar. But it's even harder when he mixes in a bit of the truth. Or maybe as tragedy and evil surround you on every side, you've thought, "My God would not or would allow this or that thing." But if you expect God to act as you demand, that he must answer to your whims, you've twisted the scriptures. Satan deceives you into thinking you are judge over God, that he must prove himself to you, that you can make a God of your own design to answer as you please. But this God will not, cannot save you. Repent. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the thunderous rebuke sounds forth. It is written, God has spoken and you, devil, are deaf to it. Be silent and put God not to the test. Jesus overcomes this temptation for you. He answers for every time you're silent. He's bold when you cower. He speaks the truth when you find comfort and camaraderie in lies. Joined to Jesus in holy baptism, His confession is now yours. His faithfulness is yours. His answer is yours. For you are in Christ. So the devil comes yet again, offering, as he did to Adam and Eve, power and prestige. For if Jesus is truly the Son of God, why would his Father abandon him to the weakness of flesh? Why would he have to suffer and endure all things? Worship me, the devil says, and I will give you power and glory beyond reason. I will give you what the Father denies, and without the cross, I will make you his equal. You know full well Jesus isn't the only one tempted in this way. For what seems more real, more concrete, more immediate, to be the child of God and heir of heaven, or to be well thought of by men? Which is easier, to say it is written, or to go along with whatever is popular and loved? You're torn between fidelity to God's word and earthly prestige. Power, glory, and honor are seductive, for their reward is immediate. It's now. But it won't last, and you will be condemned. Yet the devil promises all this if you simply worship him. But haven't you done so already? Isn't all sin devil worship? It doesn't matter how small or minor you think it to be. It doesn't matter what the world says. Indeed, the world is evil, calling evil good and good evil. God will not turn a blind eye to your little white lies. He will not give a sly smirk and wink to all you do to defile yourself as though it doesn't really matter. Where will your idols be, whatever they may be, in the time of temptation and on the last day? What help will they afford? You'll be left helpless and alone. Repent. You shall worship the Lord Jesus, and him only shall you serve. Once more the thundering rebuke rings forth. It is written, "These are mine already. You, devil, have nothing to offer but lies, death, and damnation. Be gone." Jesus overcomes this temptation for you. When you seek after earthly treasure, Jesus gives heavenly treasure. When you seek after that which will never last, Jesus gives what's eternal. When you seek after the kingdoms and honor of men, Jesus gives his kingdom. Jesus gives more than you could possibly imagine, and he gives it because he loves you. Your sins are atoned for. The nakedness of your shame and guilt is covered. The Father sends his only begotten Son into your flesh. Jesus is your substitute, taking your place under the devil's accusations and his Father's wrath. He is your sacrifice, his brow crowned with thorns and thistles, laboring in sweat and tears upon the cross, slain that you would be clothed in his blood and righteousness. He is your champion, waging war against the forces of hell and crushing the serpent's head, that you may live in peace and safety. He is your great high priest, answering every temptation by the word of God. Jesus is your bridegroom, shielding you, his beloved bride, from the serpent and his lies. You are the beloved child of heaven, redeemed by Jesus Christ. This is the declaration of Jesus in heaven, and it stands true. Instead of things that are here today and gone tomorrow, Jesus makes you an heir of his kingdom, which has no end. He gives to you his word and holy sacraments, which will never pass away. Jesus clothes you in his perfect righteousness, that you may stand and stand firm in the time of temptation and on the day of judgment. Yes, temptation still comes. Don't think otherwise. The devil completely and utterly hates you, for no other reason than you belong to Jesus Christ. And yet, though Lent and this life be a wilderness, Jesus is in this wilderness to be your refuge and to be your habitation against the devil. Now is the favorable time and the day of salvation, St. Paul says. For today, the sacrifice of the Holy Cross, the fruit of the tree of life, the crucified and risen body and blood of Jesus is here for you. For you live only by the word which proceeds from the mouth of God, who gives his flesh into your mouth as bread. Jesus, the living bread from heaven, gives himself that you may live. Adam and Eve were defiled in eating what God had not given, but you are cleansed in eating what Jesus has offered up for your sake. Eat, drink, and live. Here is the word of God written in stone in the flesh of Mary, hidden in bread, that you would live eternally as God's own holy child. The devil cannot have you, try though he may. It can be no other way. It is written in the flesh of Jesus and confirmed in his blood. In Jesus' name, amen.